Welcome to this edition of When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine, a discussion of sustainable living and what that means to you and me. I'm Jay Warmke.
And I'm Annie Warmke.
And today we're going to talk about vegetarian versus vegan, or I got lots of problems, but protein ain't one of them. And you were just saying that's a terrible,
terrible tagline.
But the reality is, and the reason I threw that in there is because a lot of people, when you're talking about vegetarian or vegan, says, don't you need protein, you know? And as we discuss periodically, I mean, plants have quite a lot of protein, right?
Well, the problem with the basic premise of that is our cultural message, which is rooted in getting us to buy stuff like meat and eggs and dairy,
because
there are big lobbies. There's big lobby for those food groups. And if we really look at what is contained in different fruits and vegetables and grains and nuts and things like that, we can see that protein exists in all of these foods, and that because there's a really important push for meats and dairy and eggs, because it is a big part of industry in this country, they tell us that we need a lot more protein than we actually do. So,
well, when I was looking at this, I was surprised to see a quote from the Buddha saying, to become a vegetarian is to step into the stream which leads to nirvana.
I believe it's true.
Yes.
And all the critters are walking with us.
You're smiling broadly.
That's right. Well, so here's the deal, though. Well, first of all, there's more than one Buddha. So I don't know which Buddha said that.
The vegan one.
The vegan Buddha. Bless his little heart. He's a svelte one.
The burger Buddha did not say that.
He didn't speak up. So I wanted to talk about vegetarian versus vegan because people ask me a lot of questions about those two things, and there's a lot of misinformation. And so first I want to say that there's
What is a vegetarian diet? First off.
Well, okay, I'm going to talk about that. But let me say that if you don't believe what I'm talking about and you don't agree with my political assessment of this, you can go to the Vegetarian Society.
I'm glad you finished that about you can go to the Vegetarian Society. I was worried there. So.
Well, I don't feel that. That's a good point because I feel very strongly about my own walk in this life and what that includes. And yes, I'm very happy to preach about it. But one of the things that I'm not involved in is really the politics of all this. And I don't want to be drawn into it. However, the Vegetarian Society, which is has a website, VegSOC, so at VEGSOC.org. They don't want to make it easy for you to find them. And that's the Vegetarian Society. And then there's also a vegan.com society that you can go to and learn everything you could possibly want, including how to get started, although we're going to talk about that today. Mm-hmm. So vegetarian diet includes an awful lot of foods. And that's the other thing people say, well, what do you eat? Okay, well, we're really clear as vegetarians or vegans what we don't eat. And once we eliminate that, we have a broad variety of foods. In this country, we tend to focus as meat as the center of everything, and then some vegetables and some potatoes or some kind of starch. Whereas in a vegetarian or a vegan diet, we're looking at the whole of the food groups and saying we have a large selection to choose from.
Including beer, potato chips, and Fruit Loops.
I don't know about Fruit Loops, but definitely potato chips and beer could be a vegan diet, but definitely vegetarian.
Sounding better now.
It is not. You don't even drink beer. Right. Anyway, so the vegetarian diet encompasses several things, and it does include vegetables, fruits, grains, and nuts, and seeds, and eggs, and dairy products, and honey. It does not include meat or poultry, fish or seafood, insects, gelatin, or animal rennet. And rennet is what's used to cause the whey to separate from the curd for making cheese, or stock or fat from animals, so lard or things like that.
Yeah, isn't rennet made from like the stomach or the intestines?
The digestive juice is from a goat, but however, you can buy vegetable rennet, which is what we normally use. And we've done that all along anyway when we make cheese. But there are also variations of being a vegetarian. So It's funny. I always feel like people start right off, okay, I'm going to be vegetarian, but then I'm going to make my own definition of vegetarian. And so there's the lacto-ovo vegetarian, which is it's devoid of meats and fish, but you can include dairy products and eggs. There's another one, lacto-vegetarian, which you consume dairy products.
But no eggs.
And then this one, which I had just heard recently, called pescatarian. I thought the person was making it up.
Pescatarian. That's like fish, isn't it?
Yeah. You can eat fish. And that's a bad choice because mm-hmm. fish coming out of the Pacific Ocean, every fish now is loaded up with nuclear fallout from the
they're radioactive and full of mercury.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, full of mercury. Well, at least tuna we know. And then the other problem is the plastic threads.
I never quite understood that when people said I'm a vegetarian but I eat fish and chicken. You know, because you know that seems that's
very reinventing
selective.
The definition. So
in other words, I'm a carnivore. I just don't like beef
or pork.
Yeah, well.
Well, that, you know, everybody to each his own. But I'm just trying to point out what these things are so you understand because, like, I know when I was, I first knew you and you would, you know, I used to make you bacon and things for breakfast. And then once you said, oh, you don't need to do that anymore. And then I began to point out that you really did have a vegetarian diet because you ate, this was your complete diet. So pasta, bread, cheese, eggs, Count Chocula, Mountain Dew, and
coffee. Yeah.
And so you were a veg.
I got through 4 years of college on that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't think it serves you well as you get old, though.
Right.
I don't think that diet serves anybody well, even in their youth. But you had a brilliant mm-hmm. brain, so you got through it.
Cold
anyway.
Pizza and warm beer.
It's the truth. But mm-hmm. anyway, so the thing about eating vegetarian is that you're basically making some decisions based on your own views about life that you don't want to eat certain kinds of animal products. And for some people, they choose not to eat animal products because they don't want to think that something has been killed or they don't like the fact that it's not good for the environment to be raising animals for food and all the problems with the methane coming from the manure and the pollution and also the water, tremendous water usage. I mean, really, if you want to help the planet, become vegetarian because once you stop eating beef, you are not you're not wasting a lot of water. So depending on who reports how much water it takes to make 1 pound of hamburger, it's anywhere from 1,500 gallons to 5,000 gallons to produce that 1 pound of hamburger.
Well, and now we're seeing the destruction of the Amazon rainforest.
Right,
as
for
part
raising
of
meat for developing mm-hmm. countries.
So there are a lot of collateral damage.
Yeah, well, and they've been destroying the Amazon for a while, but now it's to the point where it's clear that it's having an impact, a real impact, because those are the lungs of really are how we get air. How do we get oxygen? Because of the purification.
So a lot of people make this decision about being a vegetarian, not necessarily a vegan, because of the moral implications of what it does to our animal critters, the critters that share the planet,
right.
and the destruction of the planet.
Yeah, they
itself.
Don't want to kill animals.
Right.
But that isn't the reason that I became vegetarian. So. Mm-hmm. I may be the only person that has this reason, but when I was in my 20s, I had a daughter, and I had an operation when I had her, and for some reason, whatever happened, again, I would say I was a farm woman. I never killed things, but I was the person who cut up the meat and processed everything, and I raised meat in order for us to have meat. We lived, you know, very simply. But after I had my daughter, I couldn't eat the meat anymore. It would not go down my throat. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty wild because it was the 70s and people would call me a communist because I was eating rice and I would make stir fry, which I didn't know that's the name of it. And they would say, oh, your wife's, to my husband at the time, your wife's a commie. You know, she's getting slant eyes and things like that.
Well, I remember, you know, as a kid, rice was exotic. You know, there were those Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat.
Yeah.
And pizza was unknown. I mean, we were pretty...
Chef Boyardee.
Yeah, those were horrible stuff.
Well, we liked it because it was something different besides American food. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I mean, just to make whole wheat bread, which I started to do, I had to go to the local grain selling animal feed store and buy wheat berries. And then I bought myself a hand grinder, and I still have that. And I would grind up the wheat so I could make myself bread. And I don't know why I was doing all that. I didn't have a TV. I didn't have a telephone. And so it wasn't like I was reading these things or knowing these things. And but apparently there were a lot of other people doing the same thing at the same time. They called them the back to landers. I just thought it was poverty. So anyway, so I kept making the food for everybody else, but I stopped eating meat completely.
Okay, so you, instead of saying I'm gonna save the planet and save the yeah, bunnies or whatever, you're saying I just don't like it. I don't want to eat it anymore.
Yeah.
But then you've also, you know, taken that with me telling me all the time, this is the healthier alternative.
Yes.
You know, and I know there's that documentary film, Forks Over Knives.
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute because that's not about being vegetarian. So.
Oh, that's more vegan?
That is absolutely vegan, and we'll talk about that in a minute.
So there are health benefits then associated
Tremendous health benefits to, at the very least, if you can poo-poo all this about being vegetarian or vegan, okay, that's fine. So let's just talk about the bottom line. The reality is that you can change your health by just deciding that meat is not going to be the center of what you're eating, but maybe just a condiment, like you would use ketchup or mustard or relish of some sort. And that meat becomes organic meat.
You just listed all the vegetables I ate in college.
I know,
ketchup
and mustard. You still eat those vegetables quite a lot. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line for that is that if you're eating the meat as a condiment, the other thing you have to do if you want that meat to not be harmful to you is you must eat meat that you can prove is organically grown, and organic meaning that animal sees the light of day during every day of their life that's possible. They eat naturally, so they're going to eat insects if they're chickens. They're going to eat healthy grass if they're beef. Or they're going to pigs that are going to be in the woods eating up all kinds of dead things, dead wood and things. So again, it's all about eating naturally. And if you don't do that, then meat is poison and your body uses it totally differently. And so you can read all about that. Don't take my word for it. But that's the reality. That isn't why I am a vegan, though. And so I want to talk a little bit about what that means to me personally, but also exactly what it means and how do we get started if we want to try.
Okay, well, you are listening to When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine with Jay and Annie Warmke, reminding you that it is indeed the end of the world as we know it.
And thank God.
Thank God. So anyway, so we're talking about vegetarianism, veganism, which gets me right into this, Annie. What's the difference? What's the difference between vegetarian and vegan?
A vegan, as we said, vegetarians, they just don't eat animal products.
Yeah,
except,
but some of them,
wait a minute,
a few exceptions.
Yeah, but they, with the exception of eggs and dairy. Mm-hmm. So that's cheeses and milk and yogurt and things like that. But a vegan does not eat any of those things. They not only don't eat animal products, they don't do a lot of other things, and I'll talk about that. But anyway, so they don't eat meat or poultry or fish or eggs or dairy or honey or insects or rennet, gelatin, or other types of animal protein, and they don't eat stock or fats that derive from animals.
And is this a moral position?
It depends on the person. For a lot of people, they are vegan because of the same reason some people are vegetarian, and that is that they don't want to eat something that has had a mama, so to speak, something that's breathed.
But milk hasn't had a mama.
All right. But then the argument would be, and again, this isn't my argument, but the argument would be that animal is not naturally living and you are keeping it for the express purpose of extracting the milk. You're getting it impregnated and then using the milk, and that it's wrong. It's wrong for the animal, and it is hard on the animal. It can be if it's being bred and treated in a certain way, and the same with chickens. So there's a whole thing around the moral issue of how these animals are being treated, and even if it's humane, in terms of how it's defined as humane, it doesn't matter because it's the idea of they aren't living naturally, they aren't being treated naturally, they're being exploited, maybe would be the word that they would use.
Well, I understand that argument. I guess at the risk of being pelted by by faux eggs, I don't buy it.
All right. Well, you don't have to because I don't want to argue about it.
I'm happy to buy the argument that it's a more healthy lifestyle.
Okay.
So
well,
make
one
that argument to
okay.
me.
Well, one of the things I'll talk about just to add to is that really strict vegans, they try to avoid other things, other products that are directly or indirectly that do involve the human use of animals. So that's how they put it, the human use, you're using an animal. So they don't buy leather goods. They don't buy wool or silk or beeswax or soap, candles, and other products that contain animal fats, such as tallow, which comes from beef. They don't use latex products that contain casein because that comes from milk. And that's a milk protein, or cosmetics or other products that manufacturers test on animals. Now, I can really get behind the not testing on animals part of it because I feel like that's just, I can see the medical use of it. And lots of medications do have animal products, and the vegan society is very clear about not advocating that you shouldn't take a medication because it has an animal product. For example, there's a type of very common thyroid medication, Synthroid, that I believe comes from estrogen from maybe I have that mixed up, but it comes from a pig's estrogen. And so I remember saying I didn't really want to take those kinds of medications. But there are sometimes alternative medications or natural remedies, and so that would be good. So there are many ways to embrace vegan living, but we also have to consider that if we're really not going to use animals, exploit animals, then definitely medicines come into play, and also entertainment. So a very strict vegan probably would not visit a zoo or an aquarium or take part in dog or horse racing. They would instead support and visit things like animal sanctuaries and rescue sanctuaries for animals. And so that, you know, there's that heart part of this that is like so terrible to think about what really happens to animals and how we do exploit them. And I understand that. But for me, being vegan is more about I want to be healthy as an old person. And I also don't want to be diabetic. And my family has a long history of being diabetic. And so if you look at the film called Fork Over Knife.
Well, before we get into that, I want to get back because I don't want to pass over when you were saying all the motivation that people have. I guess I just want to acknowledge a lot of people who are not vegetarian, not vegan, find that attitude, you know, I don't want to eat anything or use any leather products or anything like that because it's harming the animals. That often is used as a bit of a, I don't know, a holier than thou weapon, you know, that's put out there like I am smugly superior to you.
Well, yes, we probably are because we've made different choices and we have said for whatever our personal reason that we're going to have a different kind of a lifestyle and we don't want to be attacked and we don't, it's kind of like the Christians versus the Muslims. We don't want to be told that because you eat meat and you don't see anything wrong with this, that somehow we are not good people or not, we're not American. If people said that, you're not American.
Right. Like, well, it goes both ways because there's the I got to have red meat at every meal kind of people look at you like you tree hugger, you know, you communist or whatever. But on the other hand, there's the you know, tie-dye, the perception, the tie-dye, how dare you eat meat because your animals have all the same rights as humans, which takes it to the opposite extreme. So I think what we really need to acknowledge is people are just annoying at their core.
Well, this don't use the word we, just please.
Okay.
I will make this
statement. People are annoying at their core, whether they're vegans or whether they're meat eaters.
Yeah, okay, that's
they're
very
still
good.
Annoying.
Okay, all right. So okay. There we go. But So I have my basic philosophy in wanting to be vegan. And I have been vegan. I've been vegetarian since I had my daughter, but I have been vegan off and on. And now I'm really seriously being vegan because I want to have health. And so I saw this film called Fork Over Knife, and it really did impact me to get serious because it showed me that by seriously adopting a different way of how I eat. And again, I was always pretty good about what I ate. I could have an insurance policy against diabetes, and I really don't want to be diabetic. So a lot of things I don't want to be, but I definitely don't want to go there. And I always thought it would be something I would have to face. And I feel really good about how I eat. I feel like I eat a lot more variety of foods because I don't fall back onto there's some meat, or I never did eat eggs, but I would feed you eggs. And so it's been a little bit uncomfortable sometimes because I have to rethink what I do and how I make things. But I've also had a lot of fun with it, learning how to use chia seed and flax seed and an explosive soda and vinegar thing so that I could make baked products, be light and fluffy. But I feel like it's been challenging in a good way, and I feel happy about my decision. But it didn't just happen overnight, and I think I was lucky in that I was already very serious about food and what I was going to eat. So if you want to be vegan, you have to really think a lot about how's that going to work, because it's a huge lifestyle change. First of all, everybody's going to that's in your life is going to be freaked out about the idea of it. People will say, oh, I have no idea what you eat. It's like, right. Okay, yeah. And you'll hear that, or you're not getting enough protein, or because I am a farmer and I still have goats and I do still have chickens right now, although I'm going to be sending them along to somebody else.
In order to be kind to them, you're going to have them
no,
butchered.
No,
right?
I'm not. There are people that would like to take them that have promised they won't butcher them. And I'm a little bit nervous about it because I do fall back onto eggs when we have a lot of young people because they're very delicious and it's a great way to talk about humane treatment of animals and why you should eat organic because everybody leaves wanting to always eat those eggs. And
right, because they're better.
Well, and when they're coming back and the interns are coming back and I say, what would you like to eat when you're here? And the first thing is in capital letters, eggs, anything eggs or anything pesto. So pesto is vegan, by the way. So I'm feeling apprehensive about that. It's like a little laziness for me.
Well, and as you were saying, people don't know how to accommodate vegetarian, let alone vegan.
Right.
You know, you go to a banquet or something like that saying, look, I have a vegetarian, and you get some plate with a couple of pieces of cauliflower and you know,
yeah,
what,
that's
a piece
okay
of
if
toast.
I didn't pay $50 for it.
I know.
Well, and I also don't eat gluten because of glyphosate. So that really freaks people out. But my attitude is this is America. I have a credit card. I can go to any Asian restaurant, any Indian restaurant, and I can find something super delicious to eat. And I don't have to be forced to eat American-based traditional foods.
Well, and one thing that's come home to me, because I agreed to you to spend a year.
No, you didn't agree. This was your idea.
All right, a year from birthday to birthday being vegan. And as
what
you
was
said,
the reason you decided to do that?
For health. For
but
health.
It didn't have anything to do with me.
Okay,
well, I could help
that's
you.
My story, and I'm sticking
no,
to it.
No, you told so. Me that. You did.
Okay, so, but I found it interesting to see that all the good food, really, that you can eat as a vegan is from other cultures.
Yeah, but we were already eating a lot of
food. So you get Indian food's great, Thai food great, you know, all these other foods. And it is hard to have a good meal using American cuisine and still be vegan. It's tough.
It's challenging for sure. But one of the things that you discovered that you say quite often about this way of eating, especially when we eat Indian food, you say it's more satisfying.
Sure,
that you feel very satisfied by the food. So I think so I do recommend the film Fork Over Knife, and also to say there's also a book that goes along with it. So if you want to read about how you might change your lifestyle. But let's just really quickly talk about if you want to change your life and try going vegan or vegetarian, the first thing you're going to want to do is to take some time to determine what works best for you. So don't do this and take somebody else's word for it. Don't take my word for it. It's not one size fits all. And there are lots of approaches you can take. So get some books at the library. One of the things that I have done is get all of the recipe books, the cookbooks on vegetarian or vegan or keto. I find keto has some things too that have some really good quick recipes. And then I mark all the pages that have recipes I'd like to have. And then I go to thrift books or someplace like that, and I buy those books so I have something to fall back on, because the internet is not always the best place. Some of those recipes nobody ever made because you wouldn't be able to eat
them.
Like
potato chip sandwiches.
Okay.
That wasn't a vegetarian.
Was it? All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't see it. So you're going to want to make changes every day, but small changes. So create a bit of a menu, create a shopping list, and everything will be a plant-based food. So you can always throw eggs in. You can always throw in cheese on top of anything. And I know Jay will eat it if that was on there.
Right. And which would be vegetarian, but not vegan.
But there are some really nice vegan cheeses that you can buy that are plant-based. And there are lots of every day better and better plant-based substitutes for meat, if that's what you want. So occasionally we have a little meat patty that we get, and I fry it up with onions and other things. Not for you, since you love onions so much. But so there's lots of choices. And you can start by removing meat and dairy maybe once a week or maybe every other day. And every type of food is available to you, even your favorite foods, if you just take some time and be creative with your recipes. And also join a listserv online, and you can ask all the questions, and everybody will be thrilled to death to help you.
Okay, so you have been listening to When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine with Jay and Annie Warmke. We'd like to thank Adam Rich, our Emmy award-winning producer, and we'd like to thank you for spending just a little bit of time with us. And as your grandmother probably, hopefully told you, the secret to a happy and sustainable life is...
play nice with others, clean up your own mess, and think about being vegetarian or vegan.
All right. Till next time.
Mother Earth will sing, and her children will be...
You can find more information on living sustainably in our unsustainable world at BlueRockStation.com.